This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to Jax
and Dean
on our podcast.
This is our podcast.
It is our. I've just said that, Dean.
This is our podcast.
Oh, it's still our podcast now. That's cute. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Play the podcast, please.
Last week, we had a chat to Stefan from KHQ Lawyers.
Yes.
The sticky topic of sperm donation.
Mm-hmm.
This week, we're going to talk to the team from KHQ Lawyers about, I guess, further on in the cycle, about once you've had the kid and the parenting agreements, in a little segment we like to call Joy Law.
Joy Law. Jack and Dean.
Joy Law. Oh, listen to you.
So, backup vocals.
A little backup vocals.
You'll miss me when I'm gone.
Hey, joining us live in the studio is Bronwyn from KHQ Lawyers. Hey,
Bronwyn. Hi, guys.
Hello,
thanks
hello.
For having me.
Hey. So, yeah, so we talked sperm donation. Now, let's fast forward.
Yeah, that's
you've
right.
You've had the kid now.
It's cooked.
You've had the kid.
Congratulations.
Everything's gone swimmingly.
And now it's just plain sailing from now on in, right?
Let's hope so. But here's a few things to think about. Just a quick note, just following on from what Stefan spoke to you guys about last week, just about donor agreements. You may have noticed there has been a little bit of commentary on this topic from the Attorney General recently, just in terms of in what circumstances donors should or shouldn't be considered parents. I won't get into that too much more because it's a little bit technical and the arguments haven't really been all that fleshed out yet, but just wanted to say, watch this space. It's not, as we say, it's not black and white. It's not open and shut and different people have different views about how that should be carried out in the courts. So, yeah, as I said, watch that space. But yes, you're right. Today we're going to be speaking about parenting arrangements once the child is born, including when the child has been born with help from a donor. So in Victoria, once a child has been born, you've got 60 days to register the birth, and you do that with birth, deaths and marriages. And part of that application process is providing the details, name and details of the baby and the parents and the parents' signatures.
And that's true of any baby born in Victoria. It doesn't matter whether it's sperm donation or surrogacy or just it's God intended.
Yeah, that's always the same. The difference is if the child was conceived using a donor and artificial conception procedure, the donor's name will not appear on the birth certificate. It will be the birth mother and her partner if she has one. Having said that, birth, deaths and marriages still want to know about the donor. So that's the case whether it's a known or unknown donor. And the reason for that is that they keep the donor's details on a register. Now, that register, the access to that register is regulated pretty heavily, but donors should be aware that if there's a child who's conceived by a donor or potentially a relative of that child, they can actually apply to access that information.
And they access it from one of my favourite government organisations.
Who?
The Victorian Assisted... I thought we were going to say that in unison.
Victorian Assisted
Reproductive Treatment Authority.
Or as I like to say, VARTA.
VARTA.
That's right. So that's where the application for that would go.
Very fun.
So even if it's an unknown donor, their details are still known to VARTA.
To VARTA, yes. So that's right. So in that respect, it may be that, you know, the birth mother would tick a box saying, you know, this child was born through donation via IVF, you know, all those sorts of things. Yep. And then VARTA will connect those dots so that the donor's details for that baby can be accessible under the right circumstances. As I said, it's heavily regulated. But
hello,
yeah.
VARTA. Hello,
VARTA.
Oh, are you by gorgeous. VARTA, VARTA?
That's part of the application. That's
don't
one
joke
of the questions.
About serious things, Dean. It's unbecoming.
That's your job.
Excuse me.
Just moving away from strictly from donors just for a second. If you're, for instance, in a heterosexual couple and you don't know who the biological father of the child is, that might be another instance where you just have just one person's name on the birth certificate, so just the birth
right.
mother.
Yep.
But the birth mother would be required to submit like a statutory declaration explaining why it was that, you know, the father couldn't be identified or his details or signature couldn't be provided for the registration of that birth.
And what if there are two males and it's like a surrogate birth?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is something that Monica touched on a couple of weeks ago. What will happen is the surrogate and her partner, if she has one, will actually be noted on the birth certificate at first instance because they are the legal parents of the children, of the child, sorry. But of course, that can change when, in due course, you make an application for substitute parentage orders through the court. So again, something that Monica sort of touched on previously. Mm. But in all of these cases, the person or persons whose names appear on the birth certificate are the legal parents of the child. So even though the donor might be noted, you know, elsewhere in relation to the birth, does not make them a legal parent of the child.
So if the donor's name isn't on the birth certificate,
yes,
is there a way for them to become
a parent?
Yeah. Yeah, where I was going with that.
Finish each other's sentences.
So, not exactly in terms of becoming a parent, but it is possible that a donor can have legal rights in relation to that child. So it may be that a birth mother and a donor have decided from the outset that that's what they want to do. They want to have a co-parenting relationship together. They both want to be involved as parents in this child's life. So it still means that the donor is not a legal parent. Name does not appear on the birth certificate. Mm-hmm. But what you can do is apply to the court for consent orders, for basically parenting orders, which say, we've agreed that we're going to share shared parental responsibility for the child, whatever other orders may be appropriate for the child. And in that way, you can have a parental role in relation to that child. Now, you don't need a lawyer to apply for those sorts of consent orders, but we would definitely encourage people in that boat to seek legal advice just to make sure that everything's done properly. Of course, there are always those occasions where that is not necessarily the agreement. So you may have birth mum, you may have a donor wanting to be really involved and may have a really close relationship with the child after it's born, and that may or may not have been intended at the time of conception. And it may be that birth mum isn't on board with the donor being considered a parent or having parental responsibility. Mm-hmm. That's where you get into a situation where you may need to either escalate that matter by, for instance, going to mediation, trying to sort out whether you can come to some sort of agreement about what role the donor should be playing. You might be able to achieve like a parenting plan, or you might agree to parenting orders at that stage. If you don't, then it might be time that you consider issuing proceedings as a donor to try and secure some parental rights for yourself.
Goodness. We are chatting to Bronwyn from KHQ Lawyers about the very delicate subject of parenting orders, particularly in the situation of a donor, but in also other things to do with rainbow families. Mm. If you've got a question you'd like to ask, the number is 0427-JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au. You are with Jack and Ding with Tristan in the back for the Tuesday Drive Home. We are chatting to Bronwyn from KHQ Lawyers in a little segment we like to call Joy Law. This is the segment where we explore legal issues of interest and concern to the LGBTI community and its allies. And today we're talking about donors, and certainly once the donation has spurned a child with their parenting arrangements. And we're about to touch on what happens when things get a bit tense and perhaps there is a dispute between the parties. But we have had a question in from Adrian on 0427-JOY949.
Yes, Adrian has said, now this is a good question. I have a question. Yes, you do. Will a deceased husband's name be allowed to be on the birth certificate? My sister used her deceased husband's sperm plus the egg via IVF and is now pregnant. Adrian.
That's a really good question.
It is a really good question. It's an interesting one. I don't know the answer 100%, but what I would say is, assuming that the deceased husband, that the sample of his sperm was obtained during his life with his consent for the purpose of conceiving a child.
Yeah, a lot of unanswered questions.
Yeah, a lot of assumptions I'm making there, but assuming that child was then conceived and this person has unfortunately passed away, I would think that his name still would appear on the birth certificate. You may have to do a statutory declaration explaining, you know, why, for instance, his signature wasn't there and those sorts of things. That would be my first instinct. But, yeah, having said that, not 100% sure, but really good question.
And sorry to hear that as well about your brother-in-law, Adrian.
Yeah.
Thanks for texting in.
Absolutely. Now, if you are a sperm donor and you have a child, and maybe you're not part of that child's life, but you want to dispute that, what are some of the steps you might follow, Bronwyn?
Yeah, so as I said before, before you go to court, you need to try and do some alternative dispute resolution like mediation. So you can get very far with that. You might reach an agreement. If you don't, that's where you might turn to issuing an application to the court for parenting orders. Now, what you'd be seeking as part of that application is equal shared parental responsibility. So we've touched on this a little bit before, but parental responsibility basically means all duties, powers, responsibilities and authority which by law parents have in relation to children. So equal shared parental responsibility basically means that both parents together make the long-term decisions affecting a child's care, welfare and development. So examples of this are the child's education, religion, cultural upbringing, health, the child's name, and living arrangements. So that's a common one that we see pop up where there can be a dispute between a donor and, you know, a birth mother, for instance, if, you know, it's not intended that the donor will play a significant role in the child's life at the time of conception, but, you know, things develop over the course of the child's life. There is a close relationship and, for instance, mum wants to relocate or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, donor sort of wants to step in and say, oh, actually, I don't agree with that. I've now developed this relationship and I want to be able to have a say in these really significant decisions that are made in relation to the child that I donated sperm for. So just to be clear, though, parental responsibility is quite separate to being a legal parent. So again, the legal parent is still just the people who are named on the birth certificate. And it's also separate to orders for time that a person can spend with the child. So that's, yeah, different matters, related but different.
Different forms.
Ticking different boxes. Gosh. That's right.
Do the donors also have the counselling that the surrogates and that have as well? Like, you know, come to an agreement before they were talking about agreements.
Yeah, they can do. Again, it sort of depends on the method of conception. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, if you're still doing things through like IVF, like that sort of thing, there would probably still be the same requirements for that sort of thing. Whereas if you're doing an at-home insemination, that may be different. Now, you might still want to do things like that because, as we've sort of previously advised, it helps to show that everyone's on the same page before you go into that sort of arrangement. But yeah, the requirements differ depending on the method that you use.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, yeah, just going back to when, if you would be at court, the court's going to look at obviously the best interests of the child. We've said this many times before. So there's a presumption that if they're you know, the parents of the child, if there are two parents of a child, they should share equal shared parental responsibility for the child unless there's a really good reason why they shouldn't. So it's extremely impractical or dangerous for both children to have a say in some of these matters, but it's that may lead to sole parental responsibility, but it's not the sort of thing that courts take lightly.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, thanks for that. And if you were interested in the issue of sperm donation and then also parenting orders, you can catch up on this episode and last week's episode via our podcast at joy.org.au or go to iTunes and subscribe, like and review Jack and Dean on Joy. Thank you very much, Bronwyn. We look forward to speaking with you and the team from KHQ Lawyers again next week.
Thank you.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.